and Ansel, after realizing Elodie had traded up, pulled me in opposite directions, each determined to introduce me to every person they'd ever known. I didn't bother remembering their names. A month ago, I would have wanted them all dead. Now, a hollow sort of pit opened up in my stomach as I greeted them. These women, with their pretty smiles and shining faces, wanted Lou dead. They were here to celebrate Lou's death. The revelry soon became intolerable, as did the undiluted stench of magic, stronger here than anywhere I'd ever encountered it. I tugged away from Elena with a strained smile. I need the washroom. Though my eyes roamed for Madame Lebel, I had no idea what face she'd taken, or if she'd even gotten inside. You can't! Elena clutched me tighter. The sun had sunk below the castle, lengthening the shadows in the courtyard. The feast is about to start! Sure enough, the witches began moving toward the doors, as if answering a silent call. Perhaps they were. If I concentrated hard enough, I could almost feel the faint whispering of it across my skin. I shuddered. Of course, I ground out as she tugged me forward. I can wait. Ansel and Beau stuck close to me. Coco had been dragged away as soon as we crossed the bridge, and I hadn't seen her since. Her absence made me uneasy. Beau elbowed a plump witch aside to keep up. Will our lady be attending the feast? Excuse you! She nearly leveled him in retaliation, and he skidded into me before righting himself. Good lord. He eyed the witch's broad back as she shoved through a set of stone doors. Above them, an elaborate depiction of the waxing, full, and waning moons had been carved. I think you have the wrong deity, I muttered. Are you coming or not? Eleanor yanked me past the carving, and I had little choice but to follow. The hall was vast and ancient, larger than even the sanctuary in Saint-Cécile, with vaulted ceilings and giant beams covered in snow and foliage, as if the courtyard had somehow spilled inside. Vines crept in from the arched windows, ice glittered on the walls, long wooden tables ran the length of the floor, overflowing with moss and flickering candles, thousands of them. They cast a soft glow on the witches who lingered nearby. No one had yet seated themselves. All watched the far side of the room with rapt attention. I followed their gazes. The very air around us seemed to still. There, on a throne of saplings, sat Morgan Le Blanc. And beside her, eyes closed and limbs dangling, floated Lou. My breath left in a painful whoosh as I stared at her. Only a fortnight had passed, yet she appeared skeletal and sickly. Her wild hair had been trimmed and neatly braided, and her freckles had disappeared. Her skin, once golden, now appeared white, ashen. Morgan had suspended her in midair on her back, with her body bowed nearly in two. Her toes and fingertips just brushed the dais floor. Her head lolled back, forcing her long, slender throat to extend for the entire room to see, displaying her scar prominently. Rage unlike anything I'd ever felt exploded through me. They were making a mockery of her, of my wife. Two sets of hands gripped the back of my coat, but they weren't necessary. I stood with preternatural stillness, eyes locked on Lou's inert form. Eleanor stood on tiptoes to get a better look. She giggled behind her hand. She's not as pretty as I remember. Elena sighed. But look how slender she is. I turned to look at them. Slowly, the hands at my back tightened.
Easy, Beau breathed at my shoulder. Not yet.
I forced a deep breath.
Not yet, I repeated to myself. Not yet, not yet, not yet.
What's the matter with you three?
Elena's voice rang unnaturally loud in the hush of the room, shrill and unpleasant. Before we could answer, Morgan rose from her seat. The murmured conversation in the room died instantly. She smiled down at us with the air of a mother beholding her favorite child.
Sisters,
she lifted her hands in supplication.
Blessed be.
Blessed be,
the witches hailed back in unison. A rapturous joy lit their faces. Alarm tempered my rage.
Where was Madame Lebel?
Morgan took a step down the dais. I watched helplessly as Lou floated along behind her.
Blessed be thy feet, Morgan cried, which have brought thee in these ways.
Blessed be.
The witches clapped their hands and stomped their feet in wild abandon. Dread snaked down my spine as I watched them. Morgan took another step.
Blessed be thy knees that shall kneel at the sacred altar.
Blessed be.
Tears ran down the plump witch's face. Beau watched her in fascination, but she didn't notice. No one did. Another step.
Blessed be thy womb, without which we would not be.
Blessed be.
Morgan had fully descended now.
Blessed be thy breasts, formed in beauty.
Blessed be.
She stretched her arms wide and threw her head back, chest heaving.
And blessed be thy lips, that shalt utter the sacred names of the gods.
The witch's cries rose to a tumult.
Blessed be.
Morgan lowered her arms, still breathing heavily, and the witches gradually quieted.
Welcome, sisters. And merry Monranit.
Her indulgent smile returned as she stepped to the head of the middle table.
Draw near to me, please, and eat and drink your fill, for tonight we celebrate.
The witches cheered once more, and they scrambled for the chairs nearest her.
Consorts can't sit at the tables,
Elena called hastily over her shoulder.
She rushed after her sister. Vaten, go stand by the wall with the others.
Relief surged through me. We quickly joined the other consorts at the back wall. Beau directed us toward one of the windows.
Here, I'm getting a headache from all the incense.
The position offered an unimpeded view of Morgan. With a lazy wave of her hand, she called forth the food. Soon sounds of clinking cutlery joined the laughter echoing through the hall. A consort beside us turned and said in awe,
"She is almost too beautiful to look upon. La dame des sorcières."
"So no look at her," I snapped. The girl blinked, startled, before shuffling away. I turned my attention back to Morgan. She looked nothing like the drawings in Chasseur Tower. The woman was beautiful, yes, but also cold and cruel, like ice. She had none of Lou's warmth in her. She had none of Lou in her at all. The two were night and day, winter and summer, and yet there was something similar in their expression, in the set of their jaw, something determined, both confident in their ability to bend the world to their will. But that was how Lou used to look. Now, she floated near Morgan as if sleeping. A witch stood by her side, tall and ebony-skinned, sprigs of holly braided through her black hair.
"A poor witch's Cosette,"
a voice murmured beside me. Coco. She watched Lou and the ebony witch with an unfathomable expression. A small hand touched my arm through the window. I spun swiftly.
"Don't turn around!"
I stopped moving abruptly, but not before glimpsing strawberry blonde hair and Madame Lebel's alarmingly familiar blue eyes.
"You look the same."
I attempted to move my lips as little as possible. Coco and I inched back until we were pressed against the windowsill. Ansel and Beau fell in on either side of us, completely blocking Madame Lebel from view.
"Why aren't you disguised? Where have you been?"
She huffed irritably.
"Even my power has its limits. Between casting the protective enchantment on our camp and transforming all your faces, as well as maintaining those transformations, I'm spent. I could barely manage lightening my hair, which means I can't come inside. I'm too recognizable."
"What are you talking about?" Coco hissed.
"Lou never had to maintain patterns in the infirmary. She just, I don't know, did them." "Did you want me to alter your face permanently, then?"
Madame Lebel skewered her with a glare.
"By all means. It would be much easier for me to be done with it and have you all remain lecherous little cretins forever."
Heat crept up my throat.
"Lou practiced magic in the church?"
"So what's the plan?"
Ansel whispered hastily.
I forced myself to refocus on the tables. The meal was quickly coming to an end.
Music drifted in from somewhere outside.
Already, some had risen from their chairs to retrieve their consorts. Elena and Eleanor would soon be upon me.
The plan is to wait for my signal, Madame LaBelle said tersely. I've made arrangements.
What? I resisted the urge to turn around and throttle her. Now was not the time or place for vague and unhelpful instructions. Now was the time for conciseness, for action. What arrangements? What signal?
There's no time to explain, but you'll know when you see it. They're waiting outside.
Who? I stopped talking abruptly as Eleanor bounded up to us.
Ha!
She cried, triumphant. Her breath smelled sweet with wine, her cheeks flushed pink.
I beat her here. That means I get first dance.
I dug in my feet as she pulled me away, but when I glanced back over my shoulder, Madame LaBelle had gone. I spun Eleanor around the clearing without seeing her. It had taken a quarter of an hour to trek to this unnatural place, hidden deep within the shadow of the mountain. The same thick mist from La Forêt des Yeux clung to the ground here. It swirled around our legs as we danced, matching the lilting melody. I could almost see the spirits of witches long dead dancing within it. The ruins of a temple, pale, crumbling, opened up to the night sky in the middle of the clearing. Morgan sat there with a still unconscious Lou, overseeing minor sacrifices. A stone altar rose from the ground beside them. It shone pristine in the moonlight. My mind and body warred. The former screamed to wait for Madame LaBelle. The latter itched to throw itself between Lou and Morgan. I couldn't stand to look upon her lifeless body any longer, to watch her drift along as if she were already a spirit of the mist. And Morgan. Never before had I longed to kill a witch as I did now, to plunge a knife into her throat and sever her pale head from her body. I didn't need my Balisarda to kill her. She would bleed without it.
Not yet. Wait for the signal.
If only Madame LaBelle had told us what the signal was. The music played endlessly, but there were no musicians in sight. Eleanor grudgingly passed me to Elena, and I lost track of time, lost track of everything but the panicked beat of my heart, the cold night air on my skin. How much longer would Madame LaBelle expect me to wait? Where was she? Who was she expecting? Too many questions and not enough answers, and still no sign of Madame LaBelle. Panic rapidly gave way to despair as the last sheep was slain, as the witches began presenting other tokens to Morgan. Wooden carvings, bundled herbs, hematite jewelry. Morgan watched them place each gift at her feet without a word. She stroked Lou's hair absently as the ebony witch approached from within the temple. I couldn't hear their murmuring conversation, but Morgan's face lit up at whatever the witch said. I watched the witch return to the temple with a sense of foreboding. If it made Morgan happy, it couldn't be good for us. Elena and Eleanor soon left me to add their gifts to the pile. I craned my neck to search for anything amiss, anything that might be construed as a signal, but there was nothing. Ansel and Coco sidled up beside me, their distress nearly palpable.
We can't wait much longer, Ansel breathed. It's almost midnight.
I nodded. Remembering Morgan's wicked smile. Something was coming. We couldn't afford to wait any longer. Whether Madame LaBelle gave the signal or not, the time had come to act. I looked to Coco. We need a distraction, something to draw Morgan's attention away from Lou.
Something like a blood witch?
She asked, grim. Ansel opened his mouth to protest, but I cut him off.
It'll be dangerous.
She slit her wrist with a flick of her thumb. Dark blood welled, and a sharp, bitter stench pierced the cloying air.
Don't worry about me.
She turned and wove through the mist out of sight. I checked the bandolier of knives beneath my coat as inconspicuously as possible.
Ansel, before we do this, I just want to say that I'm...
I broke off, swallowing hard.
I'm sorry about before, in the tower. I shouldn't have touched you.
He blinked in surprise. It's fine, Reed. You were upset.
It's not fine.
I coughed awkwardly, unable to meet his eyes.
What weapons do you have?
Before he could answer, the music stopped abruptly, and the clearing plunged into silence. Every eye turned to the temple. I watched in horror as Morgan stood, eyes shining with malicious intent.
This was it. We really were out of time.
I followed the witches as they moved closer, moths drawn to the flame. Gripping a knife under my coat, I maneuvered to the front of the crowd. Ansel shadowed my movements, and Bo soon joined him.
Good. They could protect each other. Though if I failed, they were as good as dead anyway.
Morgan was the target. A blade in the chest would distract her just as well as Coco could. If I was lucky, it would kill her. If I wasn't, it would at least buy enough time to grab Lou and run. I prayed the others would be able to slip away undetected.
Many of you have traveled long and far to pay homage on this Modranith.
Morgan's voice was soft, but it carried clearly across the silence of the glade. The witches waited with bated breath.
I am honored by your presence. I am humbled by your gifts. Your revelry tonight has restored my spirit.
She searched each face carefully, her eyes seeming to linger on mine before continuing on. I released a slow breath.
But you know this night is more than revelry, she continued,
voice softer still.
This is a night to honor our matriarch. It is a night to worship and pay tribute to the goddess, she who brings light and darkness, she who breathes life and death, she who is the one true mother of us all.
Another pause, this one longer and more pronounced.
Our mother is angry.
The anguish on her face had even me nearly convinced.
Suffering has plagued her children at the hand of man. We have been hunted.
Her voice rose steadily.
We have burned. We have lost sister and mother and daughter to their hatred and fear.
The witches stirred restlessly. I gripped my knife tighter.
Tonight,
she cried passionately, lifting her arms to the heavens.
The goddess will answer our prayers.
Then she brought them slashing down, and Lou, still floating, still insentient, tipped forward. Her feet dangled uselessly above the temple floor.
With my daughter's sacrifice, the goddess shall end our oppression.
Her hands clenched, and Lou's head snapped upright. Nausea rolled in my gut.
In her death, we shall forge new life.
The witches stomped and shouted.
But first,
she crooned, barely audible,
a gift for my daughter.
And with one last flick of her hand, Lou's eyes finally opened. I hesitated just long enough to see those blue-green eyes, beautiful, alive, widen in shock. Then I lunged forward. Ansel grabbed my arms with surprising strength.
Reed!
I faltered at his tone. In the next second, I understood. The ebony witch had reappeared, and now she dragged a second woman, limp and immobilized, out of the temple. A woman with strawberry blonde hair and piercing blue eyes that searched the crowd desperately. I stopped dead, stricken, unable to move. My mother.
Behold this woman,
Morgan shouted over the sudden din of voices.
Behold the treacherous Helene.
She grabbed Madame Lebel by the hair and threw her down the temple steps.
This woman, once our sister, once my heart, conspires with the human king. She birthed his bastard child.
Shrieks of outrage rent the air.
Tonight, she was found attempting to force entry on the chateau. She plots to steal our mother's precious gift by taking my daughter's life herself. She would have us all burn under the tyrant king.
The cries reached a deafening pitch, and Morgan's eyes shone with triumph as she descended the steps.
as she drew a wickedly sharp dagger from her belt. Louise Leblanc, daughter and heir to La Dame des Sorcières, I shall honor you with her death. No! Lou's body spasmed as she fought to move with her entire being. Tears poured down Madame Labelle's cheeks. I tore viciously from Ansel's grasp and lunged forward, diving for the temple steps, desperate to reach them, desperate to save the two women I needed most, just as Morgan plunged the dagger into my mother's chest. The Pattern. Read.
No!
I fell to my knees before her body, jerking the dagger from her chest, fingers moving to staunch the bleeding. But I already knew it was too late. I was too late. There was too much blood for this wound to be anything but fatal. I stopped my frenzied ministrations and clutched her hands instead. Her eyes never left my face. We each stared at the other hungrily, as if in that brief moment a thousand other moments might have happened. Her holding a chubby finger, her tending a scraped knee, her laughing when I first kissed Celie, telling me I hadn't done it right. Then the moment ended. The cold tingle of her magic left my face. Her breath faltered, and her eyes closed. A blade touched my throat.
Rise,
Morgan commanded. I exploded upward, catching her wrist and shattering it with ease, with savage pleasure. She screeched, dropping the dagger, but I didn't stop. I bore down on her, my free hand wrapped around her throat, squeezing until I could feel her windpipe give, kicking the dagger down the steps toward Ansel. Her other hand blasted into my stomach, stunning me, and invisible bonds cinched around my body, pinned my arms to my sides. My legs went rigid. She struck me again, and I toppled over, thrashing against the bonds. The harder I struggled, the tighter they became. They bit into my skin, drawing blood.
Mother, stop!
Lou spasmed again, shuddering with the effort to reach me, but her body remained suspended.
Don't hurt him!
Morgan didn't listen. She appeared to be feeling for something in empty air. Her eyes darted outward as she tracked whatever it was into the crowd. With a vicious tug, two familiar people staggered forward. My heart dropped. Morgan pulled harder, and Ansel and Beau fell at the temple steps, struggling against invisible bonds of their own. Their faces had returned to normal.
Her co-conspirators!
A mad gleam entered Morgan's eyes, and the witches went wild with bloodlust, stamping their feet and screaming as they struggled to converge on the temple. Magic shot past my face. Ansel cried out as a spell slashed his cheek.
The king's sons and huntsmen! They shall bear witness to our triumph! They shall watch as we rid this world of the House of Leon!
She jerked her uninjured hand, and Lou slammed onto the altar. The witches screamed their approval. I threw myself forward, rolled and clawed and twisted toward Lou with every ounce of the strength I had left. The bonds around me strained.
Nature demands balance!
Morgan swooped to retrieve the dagger from the steps. When she spoke again, her voice had deepened to an unearthly timbre, multiplied as if thousands of witches were speaking through her.
Louise LeBlanc, thy blood is the price.
Enchantment washed over the temple, burning my nose and clouding my mind. I gritted my teeth, forced myself to see through it, to see through her. Beau immediately slackened. His eyes glazed as Morgan's skin began to glow. Ansel alone struggled on, but his resolve quickly faltered.
Let it fill the cup of Leon, for whosoever drinketh of it shall surely die.
Morgan walked to Lou, slowly, her hair billowing around her in a non-existent wind.
And so the prophecy foretold, the lamb shalt devour.
A lion
she forced Lou to her stomach, ripped her braid back to extend her throat over the altar basin. Lou's eyes sought mine.
I love you, she whispered. No tears marred her beautiful face. I will remember you.
No.
It was a desperate, strangled sound, a plea and a prayer. I tore violently at my bonds. Sharp pain lanced through my body as one arm snapped free. I flung it outward, mere inches from the altar, but it wasn't enough. I watched, as if in slow motion, as Morgan raised the dagger high. It still gleamed with my mother's blood. Lou closed her eyes.
No.
A terrible shriek sounded, and Coco leapt for Morgan's throat. Her knife sank deep into the tender flesh between Morgan's neck and shoulder. Morgan screamed, attempting to pry her away, but Coco held on, pushing the blade deeper. She fought to bring Morgan's blood to her lips. Morgan's eyes widened in realization and panic. A full second passed before I realized the bonds holding me had flickered out at Coco's assault. I bolted to my feet and closed the distance to Lou in a single stride.
No, she cried when I made to pick her up. Help, Coco, help her!
Whatever happens, you get Lou out.
Lou,
I said through clenched teeth, but a high-pitched scream silenced my argument. I spun just as Coco collapsed to the floor. She didn't get back up.
Coco!
Lou screamed. Chaos erupted. The witches surged forward, but Ansel rose up to meet them, a lone figure against hundreds. To my dismay, Beau followed him, but he didn't brandish a weapon. Instead, he shucked off his coat and boots, searching the crowd wildly. When his eyes landed on the plump witch from the hall, he pointed and bellowed,
Big Titty Liddy!
Her eyes widened as he kicked off his pants and began singing at the top of his lungs,
Big Titty Liddy was not very pretty, but her bosom was big as a barn.
The witches nearest him, Eleanor and Elena among them, stopped dead in their tracks. Bewilderment tempered their rage as Beau slipped his shirt over his head and continued singing.
Her creamery knockers drove men off their rockers, but she was blind to their charm.
Morgan bared her teeth and whirled toward him, blood flowing freely down her shoulder. It was all the distraction I needed. Before she could lift her hands, I was upon her. I pressed my knife to her throat.
Read.
It was the voice I least expected, the only voice in the world that could have made me hesitate in that moment. But hesitate I did. It was the voice of the Archbishop. Morgan made to turn, but I dug the blade in deeper. Move your hands. I dare you.
I should have drowned you in the sea,
she snarled, but her hands stilled regardless. Slowly, carefully, I turned. The ebony witch had returned, and an incapacitated archbishop floated before her. His eyes were wild with panic and something else, something urgent.
Read,
his chest heaved.
Don't listen to them. Whatever happens. Whatever they say,
the ebony witch snarled, and his words ended in a scream. My hand slipped, and Morgan hissed as blood trickled down her throat. The ebony witch stepped closer.
Let her go or he dies.
Manon,
Lou pleaded.
Don't do this, please.
Be quiet, Lou.
Her eyes glowed manic and crazed, beyond reason. The archbishop continued screaming. The veins beneath his skin blackened, as did his nails and tongue. I stared at him in horror. I didn't see Morgan's hands move until they grasped my wrist. White, hot heat melted my skin, and my knife clattered to the floor. Faster than I could react, she scooped it up and dove toward Lou.
No!
The shout tore from my throat, feral, desperate, but she had already thrust the knife upward and slashed, tearing Lou's throat open completely. I stopped breathing. A horrible roaring filled my ears, and I was falling, a great, yawning chasm opening as Lou gasped and choked, her lifeblood pouring into the basin. She thrashed, finally free of whatever had been holding her, still fighting, even as she struggled to breathe, but her body stilled quickly. Her eyes fluttered once, then closed. The ground gave way beneath me. Shouts and footsteps thundered in the distance, but I couldn't truly hear them, couldn't even see. There was only darkness, the bitter void in the world where Lou should have been and now was not. I stared into it, willing it to consume me. It did. I spiraled down, down, down into that darkness with her, and yet she wasn't there at all. She was gone. Only a broken shell and sea of blood remained, and I was alone. Out of the darkness, a single golden cord shimmered into existence. It drifted out of Lou's chest and toward the Archbishop, pulsed as if in echo of a heart. With each beat, its light grew dimmer. I stared at it for the span of a single second, knew what it was in the same way I knew the sound of my own voice, my reflection in the mirror, familiar yet foreign, expected yet startling. Something that had always been part of me, but I had never quite known. In that darkness, something awoke inside me. I didn't hesitate. I didn't think. Moving quickly, I swept a second knife from my bandolier and charged past Morgan. She lifted her hands, fire lashing from her fingertips, but I didn't feel the flames. The gold light wrapped around my skin, protecting me, but my thoughts scattered. Whatever strength my body had claimed, my mind now forfeited. I stumbled, but the gold cord marked my path. I vaulted over the altar after it. The Archbishop's eyes flew open as he realized my intent. A small, pleading noise escaped him, but he could do little else before I fell upon him, before I drove my knife home in his heart. A life for a life, a love for a love. The Archbishop's eyes were still wide, confused, as he slumped forward in my arms. The gold light dispersed, and the world came rushing back into focus. The shouts grew louder now. I stared down at the Archbishop's lifeless body, numb, but Morgan's scream of rage made me turn, made me hope. Tears of relief welled in my eyes at what I saw. Though Lou was still pale, still unmoving, the gash at her throat was closing. Her chest rose and fell. She was alive. With a brutal cry, Morgan jerked her knife up to reopen the wound, but an arrow sliced through the air and lodged in her chest. She screamed anew, whirling furiously, but I recognized the blue-tipped shaft immediately. Chasseurs. Led by Jean-Luc, scores of them surged into the clearing. The witches shrieked in panic, scattering in every direction, but more of my brethren waited in the trees. They showed no mercy, cutting through woman and child alike without hesitation. Bodies everywhere fell into the mist and disappeared. An unearthly wail rose up from the very ground in response, and soon chasseurs began disappearing as well. Fury contorted Jean-Luc's features as he notched another arrow and raced toward the temple. His eyes were no longer fixed on Morgan, however. They were fixed on me. Too late, I realized my hand still clenched the knife, protruding from the Archbishop's chest. I dropped it hastily, the Archbishop's body falling with it. But the damage had been done. Jean-Luc took aim and fired. La Forêt des Yeux. Read. I grabbed Lou and ducked behind the altar. Ansel and Beau scrambled after me, holding a barely conscious Coco between them. Arrows rained down on our heads. Morgan blasted most of them into ash with a wave of her hand, but one sank deep into her leg. She screamed in fury.
Through there.
Voice faint. Coco pointed into the depths of the temple.
There's another acid.
I hesitated for only a second. Another volley of arrows distracted Morgan. It was now or never.
Get them out.
I slid Lou into Beau's arms.
I'll catch up.
Before he could protest, I dove out from behind the altar toward Madame Labelle's body. No arrows had yet pierced her, but our luck wouldn't hold. As the chasseurs closed in, their range turned deadly. An arrow whizzed by my ear. Grabbing Madame Labelle's wrist, I hauled her into my arms, tried to shield as much of her body as possible with my own. Fire and arrows pursued me as I sprinted back into the temple.
Sharp pain lanced through my shoulder, but I didn't dare stop. The sound of the battle died as I entered the uncanny quiet of the inner temple. Ahead of me, Ansel, Coco, and Bo raced toward the exit. I sprinted after them, trying to ignore the warm, wet substance spreading across my arm, the small moans of pain escaping Madame Lebel's throat. She's alive. Alive! I didn't look behind to see if Morgan or Jean-Luc followed. I focused only on the small rectangle of moonlight at the end of the temple, on Coco's hair bobbing as she cleared it. Coco. Coco could heal her. I caught up to them as they entered the shadows of the forest. They didn't slow. Lurching forward, I grabbed Coco's arm. Her eyes were dim, glazed, as she turned back to me. I extended Madame Lebel's broken body to her. Help her, please. My voice shook. My eyes burned, but I didn't care. I pressed my mother into her arms. Please. Ansel glanced behind us, breathing heavily. Reed, there's no time. Please. My eyes never wavered from her face. She's dying. Coco blinked, slowly. I'll try.
Coco, you're too weak.
Bo shifted Lou in his arms, red-faced and panting.
You can barely stand.
She answered by lifting her wrist to her mouth and tearing the thin skin there. The same acrid scent singed the air as she drew back. Blood coated her lips.
This will only buy us time, until we reach camp.
She lifted her wrist to Madame Lebel's chest. We watched, transfixed, as her blood dripped down, sizzling when it touched Madame Lebel's skin. Bo watched incredulously as the wound knit itself back together.
Oh,
not now.
Coco flexed her wrist and shook her head, eyes sharpening, as a man's scream sounded beyond the temple. The witches must have marshaled their forces, recovering from their initial panic. Though I could no longer see the clearing, I could imagine them using the only weapons they had at their disposal. Their consorts, human shields against my brethren's balisardas. Coco glanced back at Madame Lebel's pale body.
We need to find our camp quickly or she'll die.
She didn't need to tell us twice. Ducking our heads, we raced through the forest and into the night. Shadows still cloaked the pines when we found our abandoned camp. Though Madame Lebel had grown steadily paler, her chest still rose and fell, her heart still beat. Coco rifled through her pack and pulled out a jar of thick, amber liquid.
Honey, she explained at my anxious look. Blood and honey.
Lowering Madame Lebel to the forest floor, I watched in morbid fascination as Coco reopened her wrist and mixed her blood with the honey. She applied it carefully to the puckered welt on Madame Lebel's chest. Almost instantly, Madame Lebel's breathing deepened. Color returned to her cheeks. I sank to my knees, unwilling to look away, not even for a second.
How?
Coco sat back, closing her eyes and rubbing her temples.
I told you. My magic comes from within, not like Lou's.
Lou.
I lurched to my feet.
She's fine.
Ansel cradled her head in his lap across the camp. I hurried over to them, examining her pale face, her gashed throat, her gaunt cheeks.
She's still breathing. Her heartbeat is strong.
I turned to Coco, despite Ansel's reassurance.
Can you heal her too?
No.
She vaulted to her feet, as if realizing something, pulling a bundle of herbs and a mortar and pestle from her pack. She set to grinding the herbs into powder.
You've healed her already.
Then why isn't she awake?
I snapped.
Give her time. She'll wake when she's ready.
Breathing labored, ragged, uneven, she let the blood from her wrist drip onto the powder before coating her fingers with the mixture. Then she crawled to Lou's side.
Move. She needs protection. We all do.
I eyed the mixture with revulsion, angling myself between them. It smelled terrible.
No.
With a noise of impatience, she knocked me aside and swept a bloody thumb across Lou's forehead. Then Madame Lebel's, then Beau's, then Ansel's. I glared at all of them, pushing her hand away when she lifted it to my face.
Don't be an idiot, Reed. It's sage, she said impatiently. It's the best I can do against Morgan.
I'll risk it. No, you won't. You'll be the first Morgan targets when she can't find Lou, if she can't find Lou.
Her eyes flicked to Lou's inert form, and she seemed to crumple. Beau and Ansel both extended hands to steady her.
I don't know if I'm strong enough to ward against her.
Anything will help, Beau murmured.
An empty platitude. He didn't know any more about magic than I did. I'd just opened my mouth to tell him so when Ansel sighed heavily, touching my shoulder, pleading.
Do it for Lou, Reed.
I didn't move as Coco wiped her blood across my forehead. We all agreed to leave the camp as soon as possible, but the mountainside proved just as dangerous as the chateau. Witches and chasseurs alike roamed the forest with predatory intent. More than once, we'd been forced to scramble up trees to avoid detection, unsure whether Coco's protection would hold. Palms sweating, limbs shaking.
If you drop her, I'll kill you, she'd hissed,
eyeing Lou's unconscious form in my arms. As if I could have relinquished my grip on her, as if I'd ever let her go again. Through it all, Morgan did not reveal herself. We felt her presence hovering over us, but no one dared mention it, as if giving voice to our fear would bring her swooping down upon us. Neither did we mention what I'd done at the temple. But the memory continued to plague me. The sickening feel of my knife sinking into the archbishop's flesh, the extra push it had taken to force the blade between bones to the heart beneath. The archbishop's eyes, wide and confused, as his would-be son betrayed him. I would burn in hell for what I had done, if there even was such a place. Madame LaBelle woke first.
Water!
She croaked. Ansel fumbled for his canteen as I hurried over. I didn't speak as she drank her fill. I simply watched her, inspected her, tried to calm my racing heart. Like Lou, she remained pallid and sickly, and faint bruises shadowed her familiar blue eyes. When she finally let the canteen fall, those eyes sought mine.
What happened?
I unloosed a breath.
We got out.
Yes, obviously,
she said with surprising bite. I mean, how? I glanced to the others. How much had they guessed? How much had they seen? They knew I'd killed the archbishop, and they knew Lou had lived. But had they connected the two? One look at Coco gave me my answer. She sighed heavily and stepped forward, holding her arms out for Lou.
Let me have her.
I hesitated, and her eyes hardened.
Take your mother, Reed. Go for a walk, tell her everything, or I will.
I looked from face to face, but no one seemed surprised at her words. Ansel wouldn't look at me. When Beau jerked his head, mouthing, get it over with, my heart sank.
Fine.
I deposited Lou into her outstretched arms. We won't go far. Carrying Madame LaBelle just out of earshot, I set her down on the softest bit of ground I could find and lowered myself opposite.
Well?
She smoothed her skirt, impatient. I scowled. Apparently near-death experiences made my mother irritable. I didn't mind, really. Her irritation gave me something to focus on other than my own growing discomfort. Many unspoken things had passed between us.
In that moment,
she lay dying. Guilt, anger, yearning, regret. No, irritation was much easier to face than all that. I recounted all that had happened at the temple in clipped, disgruntled tones, leaving my own role in our escape vague. But Madame LaBelle was an inconveniently sharp woman. She sniffed me out like a fox.
You're not telling me something.
She leaned forward to examine me, lips pursed.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Didn't you?
She arched a brow and leaned back on her hands.
So, according to you, you killed your forefather, a man you loved, for no apparent reason.
Loved. A lump formed in my throat at the past tense. I cleared it away with a cough. He betrayed us.
And then Your wife came back to life. Also for no apparent reason.
She was never dead.
And you know this how?
Because I stopped short, realizing too late I couldn't explain the thread of life connecting Lou and the Archbishop, not without revealing myself. Her eyes narrowed at my hesitation, and I sighed.
I saw it, somehow.
How?
I stared at my boots. My shoulders ached with tension.
There was a cord. It connected them. It pulsed in time with her heart.
She sat up, suddenly, wincing at the movement. You saw a pattern.
I said nothing.
You saw a pattern, she repeated, almost as if to herself, and you recognized it, you. You acted on it. How?
She leaned forward again, clutched my arm with surprising strength despite her trembling hands.
Where did it come from? You must tell me everything you remember.
Alarmed, I wrapped an arm around her shoulders. You need to rest. We can talk about this later.
Tell me!
Her nails dug into my forearm. I glared at her. She glared back. Finally realizing she wouldn't budge, I blew out an exasperated breath.
I don't remember. It all happened too quickly.
Morgan slit Lou's throat, and I thought she was dead, and then there was just darkness. It swallowed me up, and I couldn't think clearly. I just reacted.
I paused, swallowing hard.
That's where the cord came from.
Darkness.
I stared down at my hands and remembered that dismal place. I'd been alone there, truly, absolutely alone. The emptiness reminded me of what I'd imagined hell to feel like,
my hands curled into fists. Though I'd washed away the Archbishop's blood, some stains went below the surface.
Amazing. Madame Lebel released my arm and slumped backward. I didn't believe it possible, but there's no other explanation. The cord, the balance it struck, it all fits. And not only did you see the pattern, you were also able to manipulate it. Unprecedented. This is, it's amazing.
She looked up at me in awe.
Reed, you have magic.
I opened my mouth to deny it, but closed it again, almost immediately. It shouldn't have been possible. Lou had told me it wasn't possible, yet here I was, tainted, stained by magic and the death that invariably followed. We stared at each other for a few tense seconds.
How?
My voice sounded more desperate than I would have liked, but I needed this answer more than I needed my pride.
How could this happen?
The awe in her eyes flickered out. I don't know. It would seem Lou's imminent death triggered you somehow. She clasped my hand. I know this is difficult for you, but this will change everything, Reed. You're the first, but what if there are others? What if we were wrong about our sons?
But there's no such thing as a male witch.
The words fell flat, unconvincing even to my own ears. A sad smile touched her lips. Yet here you are.
I looked away, unable to stand the pity in her gaze. I felt sick, more than sick, I felt wronged. My entire life, I'd abhorred witches, hunted them, killed them, and now, by some cruel twist of fate, I suddenly was one. The first male witch. If there was a god, he or she had a shit sense of humor.
Did she realize? Madame Lebel's voice grew quiet. Morgan?
No idea.
I closed my eyes, but immediately regretted it. Too many faces rose up to meet me, one in particular, eyes wide, frightened, confused.
The chasseurs saw me slay the Archbishop.
Yes, that is potentially problematic.
My eyes snapped open. and fresh pain lanced through me, jagged and sharp, raw, potentially problematic. Jean-Luc tried to kill me.
And will continue to do so, I'm sure. As will the witches. Many died tonight in their foolish quest for vengeance. None will forget your part in it. Especially Morgane.
She sighed and squeezed my hand.
There is also the matter of your father.
If possible, my heart sank even lower. What about him?
Word will reach him about what happened at the temple. He will soon learn your name and Lou's.
None of this is Lou's fault.
It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Your wife's blood has the power to wipe out his entire line. Do you really think any person, let alone a king, would allow such a liability to walk free?
But she's innocent. My pulse ratcheted upward, pounding in my ears. He can't imprison her for Morgane's crimes.
Who said anything about imprisoning her?
She raised her brows and patted my cheek again. This time I didn't flinch away.
He'll want her dead, Reed. Burned, specifically, so not a drop of her blood can be used for Morgane's foul purpose.
I stared at her for a long second, convinced I hadn't heard her, convinced she might start laughing, or a feu follet would flare and transport me back to reality. But no. This was my new reality. Anger erupted inside me, burning away the last of my scruples. Why the fuck is everyone in this kingdom trying to murder my wife? A bubble of laughter escaped Madame Lebel's lips, but I didn't think it was funny at all. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go?
You'll come with me. Of course.
Coco stepped out from behind a large pine, grinning in unabashed delight.
Sorry, I was eavesdropping, but I thought you wouldn't mind considering...
She nodded down to Lou in her arms. Lou. Every trace of anger, every doubt, every question, every thought emptied from my head as blue-green eyes met my own. She was awake and staring at me as if she'd never quite seen me before. I stepped forward, panicking, praying that her mind hadn't been affected, that she remembered me, that God hadn't played yet another cruel, sick joke.
Reed,
she said, slowly, incredulously.
Did you just curse?
Then she leaned over Coco's arm and heaved bile all over the forest floor.
La Voisin. Lou. I'm fine, really. I repeated the words for the 100th time, but I wasn't really sure I was fine at all. As far as I could tell, the innards of my throat were only being held in by a hideously disfiguring scar. My stomach rolled from my mother's abominable drug, my legs were numb from disuse, and my mind still reeled from what I'd just overheard. Reed was here. And he was a witch. And he'd just said fuck. Perhaps I'd died after all. That was certainly more plausible than Reed swearing with such delicious proficiency.
Are you sure you're all right? He pressed.
He'd completely ignored the bile spattering the ground and his haste to reach me. Bless him. And Coco, perhaps sensing Reed was a man on the edge, had handed me over willingly enough. I tried not to resent them for treating me like a sack of potatoes. I knew they meant well, but honestly, I was perfectly capable of moving on my own. Admittedly, my head was spinning at Reed's sudden proximity, so perhaps it was a good idea for him to carry me after all. I wrapped my arms more firmly around his neck and breathed him in. Yes, it was a very good idea. I'm sure. Reed sighed in relief before closing his eyes and letting his forehead drop to mine. Madame Labelle gave Coco a pointed smile. Dear, I think I'd like to stretch my legs a bit. Would you mind accompanying me? Coco obliged, helping Madame Lebel to her feet. Though Coco supported a good deal of her weight, she still paled at the movement. Reed's eyes snapped open, and he stepped forward in concern.
I really don't think you should be walking.
Madame Lebel silenced him with a scowl. Impressed, I memorized the look for later use.
Nonsense. My body needs to remember what it's like to be a body.
Too true, I muttered. Reed frowned down at me.
Do you want to walk too?
No. I'm quite happy here, thanks.
We'll talk later.
Coco rolled her eyes, but her grin only widened. Do me a favor and get out of earshot this time. I have no desire to overhear this particular conversation. I waggled my eyebrows. Or lack thereof. Madame Lebel scrunched her face in disgust.
And that is my cue. Cosette, lead on, please, and do be quick about it.
My grin faded as they hobbled out of sight. This was the first time Reed and I had been alone since, well, everything. He, too, seemed to sense the sudden shift in the air between us. Every muscle in his body went tense, rigid, as if preparing to flee or fight. But that was ridiculous. I didn't want to fight. After everything I'd just been through, after everything we'd just been through, I had enough fighting to last a lifetime. I raised my brows, reaching a hand up to cup his cheek.
Couronne for your thoughts?
Anxious, sea blue eyes searched my own, but he said nothing. Unfortunately, at least for Reed, I'd never been one to suffer silence peaceably. I scowled and dropped my hand.
I know it's difficult for you, Reed, but try not to make this any more awkward than it needs to be.
That did it. Life stirred behind his eyes.
Why aren't you angry with me?
Oh, Reed. The loathing shone clear in his eyes, but not for me, as I'd once feared. For himself. I rested my head against his chest.
You did nothing wrong. He shook his head, arms tightening around me. How can you say that? I let you walk right into this.
His eyes swept around us with a pained expression, then fell to my throat. He swallowed and shook his head in disgust.
I promised to protect you, but I abandoned you at the first opportunity.
Reed... When he refused to look at me, I cupped his face again.
I knew who you were. I knew what you believed, and I fell in love with you anyway.
He closed his eyes, still shaking his head, and a single tear tracked down his cheek. My heart twisted.
I never held it against you. Not really. Reed, listen to me. Listen.
He opened his eyes reluctantly, and I forced him to meet my gaze, desperate for him to understand. When I was a child, I saw the world in black and white. Huntsmen were enemies, witches were friends. We were good and they were evil. There was no in-between. Then my mother tried to kill me, and suddenly that sharp, clear-cut world shattered into a million pieces. I brushed the tear from his cheek. You can imagine my distress when a particularly tall, copper-haired chasseur walked in and crushed what was left of those pieces to dust. He sank to the ground, pulling me down with him, but I hadn't finished yet. He'd risked everything for me by coming to the chateau. He'd abandoned his life, his very beliefs, when he chose me. I didn't deserve it, but I thanked God anyway.
After I pulled you through that curtain... I whispered. I said you should have expected me to behave like a criminal. I didn't tell you I was a witch because I was following my own advice. I expected you to behave like a chasseur. Only you didn't. You didn't kill me. You let me go.
I moved to drop my hand, but he caught it, holding it to his face. His voice was thick with emotion.
I should have come after you.
I brought my other hand to his face as well and leaned closer. I shouldn't have lied. He took a shuddering breath.
I said terrible things.
Yes. I frowned slightly, remembering. You did.
I didn't mean any of them, except one.
His hands covered my own on his face, and his eyes bored into mine as if he could see into my very soul. Perhaps he could.
I love you, Lou.
His eyes welled with fresh tears.
I've never seen anyone savor anything the way you do everything. You make me feel alive, just being in your presence. It's addictive. You're addictive. It doesn't matter you're a witch. The way you see the world, I want to see it that way too. I want to be with you always, Lou. I never want to be parted from you again.
I couldn't stop the tears falling down my cheeks. Where you go, I will go. With deliberate slowness, I pressed my lips to his. I managed to walk back by myself, but my body tired quickly. When we finally reached the camp, the others were preparing dinner. Coco tended a small fire, and Madame Labelle dispersed the smoke into thin air with her fingers. Two fat rabbits sizzled on the spit. My stomach contracted, and I pressed a fist to my mouth before I could puke again. Ansel saw us first. A wide grin split his face, and he dropped the pot he held and raced toward us, enveloping me as best he could in a fierce hug. Reed reluctantly let me go, and I returned Ansel's embrace with equal fervor.
Thank you, I whispered in his ear. For everything.
He blushed pink as he stepped away, but he kept a firm arm around my waist regardless. Reed looked as if he were trying very hard not to smile. Beau leaned against a tree with his arms folded across his chest.
You know, this wasn't exactly what I had in mind when I said we could have fun together, Madame Diggory.
I arched a brow, remembering his naked chest shimmying in the moonlight.
Oh, I don't know. I thought parts of the evening were entertaining.
He grinned.
You enjoyed the performance, then?
Very much. It would seem we frequent the same pubs. Madame Labelle's fingers still moved lazily through the air. The smallest trickle of magic streamed from them as the smoke disappeared.
I hate to interrupt, but our rabbits are burning.
Beau's smile vanished, and he leapt to slide the blackened rabbits off the spit, moaning bitterly.
Took me ages to catch these.
Coco rolled her eyes.
You mean to watch me catch them? Excuse me?
He lifted the smaller of the two rabbits indignantly.
I shot this one, thank you very much.
Yes, you did. Right through the leg. I had to track the poor creature down and put it out of its misery. When Beau opened his mouth to reply, eyes blazing, I turned to Reed.
Did I miss something?
They've been like this ever since we left, Ansel said.
I didn't miss the satisfaction in his voice or the smirk on his face.
The prince had some trouble adjusting to the wilderness, Reed explained quietly. Coco was unimpressed.
I couldn't help but chuckle. As the argument escalated, however, with no sign of either party backing down, I waved my hand to reclaim their attention.
Excuse me, I said loudly.
Both whirled to look at me.
As entertaining as all this is, we have more important matters to discuss. Such as?
Beau snapped.
Ass.
I almost grinned, but at the ferocity of Coco's scowl, I caught myself at the last second.
We can't hide in this forest forever. Morgan knows all your faces now, and she'll kill every one of you for helping me escape.
Beau scoffed.
My father will have her head on a pike when he learns what she's planning.
And mine, I said pointedly.
Probably.
Definite ass.
Madame Labelle sighed. Auguste has failed to capture Morgan for decades, just as his ancestors failed to capture a single dame de sorcière in their long and gruesome history. It's highly unlikely he succeeds now either. She'll continue to remain a threat to all of us. But now the chasseurs know the location of the chateau, Reed pointed out.
They still can't enter without a witch.
They did before.
Ah, yes. Madame Lebel cleared her throat delicately and looked away, smoothing her wrinkled, blood-stained skirt. That's because I led them to it.
You what?
Reed stiffened beside me, and a telltale flush crept up his throat.
You met with Jean-Luc? Are you insane? How? When?
After I sent you lot off with those twittering triplets. She shrugged, bending low to scratch the blackened log at her feet. When it moved, blinking open luminous yellow eyes, my heart nearly leapt to my throat. That wasn't a log. That wasn't even a cat. That was a...
The Matagot delivered a message to your comrade shortly after our disagreement. Jean-Luc was less than pleased by a demon waltzing around in his mind, but even he couldn't ignore the opportunity I presented him. We met on the beach outside the chateau, and I led them within the enchantment. They were supposed to wait for my signal. When I didn't reappear, Jean-Luc took matters into his own hands.
She touched the crusty bodice of her gown, as if remembering the feel of Morgan's knife sinking into her chest. My throat throbbed with empathy.
And thank the goddess he did.
Yes, I agreed quickly, before Reed could interrupt. His flush had spread from his throat to the tips of his ears during Madame Lebel's explanation, and he looked likely to further derail the conversation by throttling someone.
But we're worse off now than we were before.
Why? Ansel's brow wrinkled.
The chasseurs killed dozens of witches. Surely Morgan is weaker now, at least.
Perhaps, Madame Lebel murmured.
But a wounded animal is a dangerous beast.
When Ansel still looked puzzled, I squeezed his waist. Everything that happened, everything we did, it'll only make her more savage, the other witches too. This war is anything but over. A foreboding silence descended as my words sank in.
Right, Coco said, lifting her chin. There's only one thing for it. You'll all come back to my coven with me. Morgan won't be able to touch you there.
Coco. I met her gaze reluctantly. She set her jaw and planted a hand on her hip in response.
They're just as likely to kill us as they are to help us.
They won't. You'll be under my protection. None of my kin will dare lay a hand on you. There was another pause as we stared at each other.
You don't have many other options, Louise dear, Madame Lebel finally said. Even Morgan isn't foolhardy enough to attack you in the heart of a blood coven, and Auguste and the chasseurs would never find you there.
Aren't you coming with us?
Reed asked, frowning. The back of his neck nearly blended into his coppery hair, and his hands remained clenched, tense. I coaxed his fist open with a gentle brush of my knuckle, lacing my fingers through his. He took a deep breath and relaxed slightly.
No.
Madame Lebel swallowed hard, and the Matagot rubbed its head against her knee in a startling domestic gesture.
Though it's been years since I've seen him, I think it's finally time I had a conversation with Auguste.
Beau frowned.
You would have to be a complete idiot to tell him you're a witch.
Reed and I glared at him, but Madame Lebel only lifted an elegant shoulder, unruffled.
Well, it is good I'm not a complete idiot then. You will come with me, of course. I can't just waltz into the castle anymore. Together we might be able to persuade Auguste against whatever harebrained scheme he's undoubtedly concocting.
What makes you think you'll be able to persuade him to do anything?
He loved me once.
Yes, I'm sure my mother will be thrilled to hear all about it. I'm sorry, but I still don't understand.
Ansel shook his head in bewilderment and looked to Coco.
Why do you think we'll be safe with your coven? If Morgan is as dangerous as everyone says, will they really be able to protect us?
Coco barked a short laugh.
You don't know who my aunt is, do you?
Ansel's brows furrowed.
No.
Then allow me to enlighten you. Her grin stretched wide, and in the dying sunlight, her eyes seemed to glow brilliant crimson. My aunt is the witch Lavoisin. Reed groaned audibly.
Shit.
This is Saskia Marleveld. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Serpent and Dove by Shelby Mahurin. Presented by Harper Teen and Harper Audio. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright, 2019, by Shelby Mahurin. Production copyright, 2019, by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.